This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
You're the cat, really? I mean, I like it. I'm a fan of this song. Mick Mixon, former voice of the Carolina Panthers, used to come on and sort of ridicule me for liking this song. He somehow managed to make it like the song that, like, my wife and I, it's our song. Not really. We just both happen to like the song, and Mick hates it. It is very 70s cheesy. Totally understand that. But shouts to Al Stewart. Anyway, so we'll talk more about the Panthers a little bit later on. They have a decision to make at quarterback, who they're going to back up, who's going to back up Baker Mayfield. It's actually some discussion. There was some thought that they would call Cam Newton. I don't anticipate that happening. Like, unless Sam Darnold's out for the year, just let P.J. Walker stand on the sideline and hold a clipboard. To me, it's an easy one.
Yeah.
Like, just let him do that. And if Darnold is going to be out for a really long period of time and you feel like you have to go out and get another quarterback, just wait till all the cuts happen. There'll be quarterbacks out there that you can bring in as a backup. There'll be somebody who can stand on your sideline and be a backup quarterback.
You can trade for Mason Rudolph, who's going to be the third quarterback in Pittsburgh.
You could do that.
I'm being legit serious.
And I believe he's a Charlotte kid, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think Mason Rudolph is a Charlotte kid. Who was the quarterback they drafted out of West Virginia in the third round a few years ago?
Oh, Will Greer.
Yeah, bring Will Greer back.
Yeah.
He had a cult following for a while. All right.
Kyle Allen doing?
Isn't he the backup in Washington?
No, Tyler Heinicke.
Oh, that's right. They traded for Carson Wentz. They have Taylor Heinicke. And
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. Yeah, bring Kyle Allen back. He was the star for a while.
Yeah.
They thought he was the next franchise quarterback. They actually thought that. All right, we'll talk more about pro football in a little bit.
People did.
They did. I mean, I'm really not making it up. We were all just like blown away by it. So we're going to talk North Carolina here. If you want to be involved in this conversation, by all means, let's do it. 919-860-5326. And it comes to our poll question that we ask every day, and we usually answer it at 1 o'clock. How do you feel about North Carolina's win over Florida A&M? We asked you, really gave you four options. Excited about the offense. Concerned about the defense. All of the above or both of the above.
Yeah.
Or, meh, it's week zero. My opinion is, meh, it's week zero. And I probably say that because I don't want to be concerned after a week zero win over Florida A&M about the defense. I hold fast to this tenet about college football. So much of week one, forget about week zero, so much of your opener is utterly, I'm not saying it's meaningless, but it really, it almost forces you to take your eye off the ball. You could have a great performance in week one, and honestly, it's fool's gold. Or you can really struggle in week one and you think, oh my gosh, there's going to be problems with this team. And honestly, it's not that big a deal. But if you're going to be excited about the North Carolina performance on offense, and Drake May was good and the tight ends were good, the running backs were the most impressive part of the game for me, then you also have to go, I don't like the defense. Like, a couple of fourth down conversions by FAMU. Quarterback had too much time early in the game to throw. Maybe North Carolina was just playing it vanilla. But the truth is that you probably should have crushed Florida A&M right away. But think about what Carolina scores to go up, 21-14, with about 2 minutes left in the half, right? Florida A&M, if they don't, if the quarterback doesn't make a mistake and throw into triple coverage, that's an interception by Storm Duck, and it sets up a North Carolina touchdown. If he doesn't make that mistake, I mean, it's very possible that we're tied at the half based on the way North Carolina's defense had played. And yes, at the end of the end of the game, Carolina's defense was really wreaking havoc on the Florida A&M offense. But at that point, they had completely worn down. So I'm not completely, I don't want to completely dismiss what I saw as meaningful or meaningless, but I always will fall back on week one doesn't matter that much. By the way, thanks to our good friend Joe Giglio from 99.9 The Fan, co-host of the OG. Not only did Florida A&M risk losing out on $450,000, as it turns out, if they can't make the trip, they would have owed North Carolina $450,000. Who wrote that contract?
Yeah, I think it's a way basically to prevent teams from just like, last second, be like, no.
Yeah, but Florida A&M wants they want the payday.
Yeah,
they're not gonna like they could have gone anywhere to get hammered. They want the payday anyway. I personally believe that this North Carolina offense can be good, but I'm not going to draw any conclusions based on what I saw. I thought Drake May looks the part. I liked the tight ends, although I believe, Copperhaven dropped the what would have been the third touchdown. It looked to me like he should have caught it, but they got, three touchdowns from tight ends. Josh Downs is Josh Downs. But I like the fact that they found a second option at wide receiver to Josh Downs. But really, the most impressive thing offensively, I thought, were their running backs.
Yeah.
Really, really did.
Hampton's a stud.
Hampton, I think Pettway is too. Mm-hmm. And look, whether you're playing professional football or college football, one guy, it's a rarity where one guy is going to be able to carry the whole load. It's a rarity. Yeah. You need multiples. Obviously it's a game of attrition. So I was impressed by that element. But again, you just got to pump brakes because we don't really know what all of it means until we start playing. Like, if I'm App State, I watched the game going, well, we might be able to run on the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you probably can if you're App. But I also think that if they do that, if they establish that, they become even more dangerous in the deep passing game. So, I saw a lot of hot takes on Twitter over the course of Saturday night about how, well, as it always was, North Carolina's got a great offense and a bad defense. I just don't think you can say that yet. But, I mean, you should be probably a little concerned. We are headed to a incredibly cool first weekend of football here in the state of North Carolina. By the way, Charlotte got beat up pretty bad, right?
I think it was 43 to
not good.
13, something not good. Like that, or 41-13.
Thought Will Healy's team was going to be a little bit better. But maybe FAU is good. We don't know. Maybe FAU is good. I'm not casting any aspersions on anyone, and I'm sure Charlotte will be better as the season progresses. But we are headed towards a great weekend, opening weekend of football, for maybe the four biggest programs in the state. North Carolina going up to App, NC State going over to East Carolina. Dennis Cox, do I have this correct? that the Culture State podcast will be on site.
Yes.
At Dowdy Ficklin.
Yep. We are, our Saturday show is coming back live to the Raleigh area.
A live podcast?
Yes, a live show.
Sounds like a radio show to
it
me.
It does.
I could be crazy.
We're live, radio show. Yeah, live Saturdays this fall from 10 to noon, and we're going to go ahead and start things off in Greenville at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. We'll be there from 10 to noon live.
I have no problem with that. By the way, almost half of the people said, meh, it's just week zero in the poll question. 47% of the vote. But a quarter of the people are concerned, and I think that both of those are the answers that I would take, because you probably should have been more dominant defensively. Although, again, maybe they were just very vanilla, just very, very just bland defensively and not showing much and not even trying to put pressure on, which I get it. I get it. Maybe they were taking pity on FAMU,
maybe,
who showed up with just seven scholarship offensive linemen. I got no problem with it. Whatever.
Put nothing good out there on tape, so App State doesn't take you seriously. That's the whole reason.
Yeah, I don't believe App State. I haven't seen a line for that, but we probably should see a line for that. My guess is that App is probably a very, very short favorite in the game. I would say App by 2 is my guess. I think that's a very, very short betting line. Do we have one?
-1, North Carolina -1 right
now. North Carolina -1. Ooh, App can play the underdog card at home. Very nice. State of what, a 10, 11-point favorite at East Carolina?
11.5 now.
11.5 NC State at ECU. Very quickly here. First game for NC State. Mm-hmm. Probably a little squirrely out of the gate.
Yeah.
We'll see how good their offensive line is. We'll see how much they want. They're going to allow Devin Leary. Here's the one thing I would say about the NC State coaching staff is that, especially early in seasons, they have been more apt to just kind of dial it back offensively, right? We're not going to show much, but I would say that you're going to win the game unless you're a complete mess. And I don't think they'll be a complete mess. Let your quarterback take some chances. Let Devin Leary play. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the entire nation. Let him play. And if it starts going sideways, then dial it back. But don't try to just, you know, we have better personnel, so we'll just play it close and we'll just, nah, don't do that. Go out and win the game. Be impressive. And if it starts off in the wrong foot, you can always dial it back. But don't try to play this game so conservatively that you leave it that East Carolina suddenly, hey, we're midway through the third quarter, we're only down 6. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go out and win the game. This is a big opportunity for the Pirates, because I think the only thing that I would prefer if I were the Pirates, I would actually prefer this game on the road. And then you've got absolutely nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Right? But you get your fans and you get an opportunity to go out and take a big swing at probably your bigger rival, NC State. Right? Great opportunity. I cannot wait. Great weekend of football. App and East Carolina hosting the two big boys in state. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it?
800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda.
Shane Ryan of Golf Digest in just a few minutes. A couple of things, though, that we are following and discussing: Panthers and their backup quarterback situation. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN floated the name Cam Newton. Please don't do that. We don't need Cam Newton as a backup. Just let P.J. Walker stand there on the sidelines, hold a clipboard, wear a hat. You can wear it backwards. I don't care. Just let P.J. Walker do it. Unless Sam Darnold is out for the entire season, just stay with what you got. And then when Darnold comes back and he's healthy enough to actually get on the field, if need be, then you can let P.J. Walker go. But the initial reaction, the initial plan was, the only way they're keeping three quarterbacks is if the third quarterback was Matt Corral. It was going to be Baker, Sam, Corral. And Corral would be on the roster but never active unless one of those guys was hurt. So I would do the same thing with P.J. Walker. Leave just two quarterbacks unless, you know, when Darnold is back, you can let P.J. Walker walk. That would be fine. North Carolina had no problem, well, not really, with Florida A&M. An undermanned FCS team certainly put up a fight for roughly three quarters, but North Carolina was good enough. They looked good offensively, didn't look so great defensively, but it is just week zero. And Rory McIlroy won the Tour Championship. First time we've had a three-time winner of the Tour Championship. I'm not entirely sure that in and of itself is significant, but Rory winning is, for a lot of reasons, as we bring in Shane Ryan from Golf Digest. You can follow him on Twitter at Shane Ryan here. Also, author of the book, The Cup They Couldn't Lose, on the, not really this past Ryder Cup as much as it is the entire Ryder Cup experience. And he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Do you see it the same way? It's not as significant that Rory is a three-time winner of the FedEx Cup. It's that he is the winner this year in what was easily the most turbulent PGA Tour season ever.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I mean, he was the PGA Tour's universal soldier this year. He was their man on the front lines every single week. Speaking his mind, he was the player against LIV Golf, at least the most public one. And I think, I wrote this for Golf Digest today. I think there are a lot of people in Ponte Vedra Beach who are very happy he won, because I think he deserved that $18 million, whether he won or not. The PGA Tour owed him. And so to have an excuse to cut him a check like that, I think they said, you know, if anybody deserves it off the course, it's this guy.
He probably still would trade the $18 million for a win about a month or so ago. But we all know that was the one he was probably pointing to. He probably put too much pressure on himself this Sunday with a four-shot lead. And I do think it's interesting that he rallied from six strokes back to beat Scottie Scheffler yesterday. If you were writing the story on this entire season, What would your focus be?
You know, it's funny. I mean, there's a lot of things you can focus on. The LIV Golf story is the big one. But I just came out in Digest. What I wrote today is everything, no matter what happened, Rory McIlroy was always there, whether it was the major championships. He was involved in every single one in some way. You know, he had the late charge at the Masters with the holdout on 18. That electrified everybody. You know, he was the first round leader at the PGA and kind of hung around late charge at the US Open. And of course, as you mentioned, at St. Andrews, he should have won and he didn't. But, you know, again, he was the spokesman too for the PGA Tour. I mean, he was their sort of chosen voice that was kind of defying the tide of players going to LIV Golf. And then, you know, he was involved intimately with Tiger Woods and all those people. Really, he was the one leading the charge to get this, you know, the whole format change next year for the PGA Tour. That's going to benefit him and players like him and really turn it into this massive payday for the best players in the world. So at every step of the way, he's been there. So when you tell the story of the PGA Tour or the year in golf or whatever, it's about LIV Golf. It's about the majors. It's about, you know, Rory winning the Tour Championship. It's about the format changes for next year. And every step of the way, like, there's your North Star. Rory is center stage all the time in every single instance.
Shane Ryan from Golf Digest, the article dropped today by Shane Ryan about Rory became golf's biggest figure in 2022 by being here, there, and everywhere. He says it wasn't a burden. And I listened to his press conference yesterday, and I expected a big exhale. I asked Billy Horschel this at the Wyndham Championship. I said, has this, because he was also very vocal. I asked him about carrying the water for the PGA Tour, and said, does it get tiring? Rory insists that it was energizing as much as anything else. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, right? Everybody's a little bit different. It kind of depends on your personality. I think for Rory, it might have been, and it's hard to argue against him because he was really good this year. You know, you kind of tend to gloss over that when you look at, well, he didn't win a major and he kind of blew it in the final round of St. Andrews. But pound for pound, he was the best golfer all year. He had the best strokes gained. Mm-hmm. You know, any advanced stat you want to look at, he was great. He won a couple tournaments. Obviously, he won the big prize yesterday. So, his game didn't suffer. I think probably golf-wise, it was his best year. And he's been good. You know, it's not like he's been bad. But I think even by that standard, it's been his best year in maybe since 2014. So it's hard to, you know, when he says, yeah, it doesn't bother me. Well, on the course, it really didn't seem to bother him, at least in the sense that he was always putting himself there in these winning positions. And sometimes you look at it and go, you know, how is this guy doing that with all the stress from everything else? But maybe he's one of those people who thrives on it and likes it. I kind of think we're forced to take him at his word there.
A couple of more things for Shane Ryan from Golf Digest, at Shane Ryan here on Twitter. We know that Cam Smith is going to be announced for LIV Golf. That's not a surprise because it was a rumor that it was a done deal before the Open Championship. But any of the other names that came out over the weekend, Joaquin Niemann, maybe Harold Varner, did any of those names surprise you other than the need for Cameron Tringali to join LIV? I don't really understand that, but anything else kind of strike you as odd?
No, because the names have all been out there, you know, and so the only one that would be the one that we don't really care about, Cameron Tringali. You know, everything like Varner was rumored, Niemann, it's been a long time. Everybody's thinking Neiman's going to go. I think some of the ones that are up in the air right now are a little bit more interesting, where you look at, like, is Cameron Young going to go? That would be kind of a big surprise. I mean, he was involved in that players meeting in Delaware. And, Rory had a quote yesterday, actually, in the press conference saying, well, we all committed when we went to that meeting in Delaware. And then he corrected himself and said, well, 22 of 23 of us committed.
Right.
And you kind of wonder if that was a sort of pointed remark that maybe Cam Young was on his way out. I don't know if you saw this, Adam, but No Laying Up figured out that the promotional code for LIV Boston.
Yes.
Yeah, you could type in certain names and the number 25 after them, and you would get a discount, and it was all the names of people who were going, and Cam Young was one of them, but Matsuyama was not one of them. So, yeah, it is sort of all kind of this funny little, chasing crumbs. But in terms of the names we know are going, to me that was all telegraphed, except for Tringali, and, you know, kind of who knows and who cares what his deal is.
Like, I thought Joaquin Niemann was in that meeting as well. Maybe I got that wrong, maybe that was what Rory was talking about. What I don't understand is that without world rankings points, it's going to be tougher and tougher for a guy like Joaquin Niemann, who doesn't have automatic exemptions into majors going forward. It's going to be tougher and tougher for some of these guys to play in major championships. And Niemann is a guy that should aspire to win major championships. The Harold Varner thing, if he wants to go, that's fine. I don't even really have a problem with players who go. Do you think the PGA Tour will be able to protect their rules and deny these players access back to tour events?
Yeah, I think so. I think this court case is going to play out probably over years. But in the meantime, you know, the injunctions they tried to get against them aren't working. And, you know, I think legally they have, like, solid footing. I mean, these guys are going in some of the rulings you saw when they turned down the temporary restraining order, I think, are going to follow into the big case. Well, you know, you're going and making lots of money from this other thing. You can't say that it's non-competitive, right? So I think they're going to be fine, and I think they're inclined not to show much mercy because they have to set a precedent, right? This is a really, really big threat to them. And if it doesn't succeed, if, you know, the Saudis eventually say it's not worth it, we're going to give up, they can't. The story doesn't end there, right? Because that's not the last person who could do it. Another group could do it. They could do it again. So they have to, you know, they have to set a precedent and say, look, there. Are, if anybody wants to do this in the future, look what happened to these guys. Look, you know, look what happened to Cam Smith. Look what happened to Joaquin Neiman. You don't know them anymore. You're not talking about them because they're nowhere to be found in the golf world. And, you know, that's a hard line to take, but I think it's an important one. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think guys like Neiman and even Cam Smith, like, you know, Cam Smith got his major this year and he was fantastic. But, you know, what are your aspirations in life if you're a professional golfer? I mean, do you not care at all about legacy? I mean, you're getting a huge payday and God bless, but is that good enough for the rest of your life when you're in your 20s? You know what I mean? Like, what happens when you're in your mid 30s and you're nowhere near the golf world anymore? Is it enough just to be rich? Maybe it is.
But I tend
to think these guys are pretty competitive people, and I think winning means a lot to them as much as money. And I think there's a, you know, there's a future which we'll be able to see that, you know, it could be really bad for them in terms of a just a happiness and fulfillment standpoint if they can't play golf anymore at the highest levels.
Yeah, no, I mean, the best golf is still going to be played on the PGA Tour, at least until too many of the players go over there. But with all the changes coming to the tour, there'll be a difference in overall cash available, but it's not going to be so astronomical unless we don't believe the live portion of the lawsuit, in which case they had to overpay because the PGA Tour made it so difficult. Of course, that's very transparent. Shane Ryan, at Shane Ryan here. Go check out the article on golfdigest.com. My friend, I'll talk to you very soon. Enjoy the President's Cup. Whoever's left.
Yeah, thanks. Hope we'll see you there, Adam. Take care.
You got it. Shane Ryan from Golf Digest here. Neiman, Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, all part of the international, in terms of Cam Smith and Joaquin Neiman, and possibly also Mito Pereira, who should have won the PGA Championship this year, except he had a meltdown late in his final round. Those three players were among the eight automatic qualifiers for the international team. And if Pereira goes two, that will mean the depth of that team, which already had questionable depth, will be severely challenged. All right, Dennis, we have reached the half. Let's do it.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
All right, just a minute up there on the board.
It's all right, it was good.
Oh, that's fine.
We had no injuries.
No.
A couple of stoppages. That's it.
That's it. Had a booking, I believe.
Not a red card, right?
No. Not a red card. You know what needs to be booked? This Duke's mayonnaise mascot.
What?
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, go to @Duke's mayonnaise on Twitter. They actually have a mascot.
I don't need to see a mayonnaise mascot.
Someone in a costume, and it's a big jar of mayonnaise with these massive bushy eyebrows.
Hold on, let me just look at it. Oh, gosh.
Yep. And guess what? They put a vote apparently out there for people to name this mascot, and we have a name. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Tubby, the Duke's mayonnaise mascot.
Well, okay, let me just say this.
I just want to know if Anish Shroff would have punched this guy in the face.
Yeah. Here's my read on Tubby.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bert from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Basically.
It's Bert from Sesame Street with those eyebrows. Whatever.
Yeah. With
mayonnaise doesn't need a mascot.
No, it doesn't.
So.
But you know what? Tubby, I'm sure, is going to be at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And I think it was at the Duke's Mayo kickoff that they have as well in Charlotte. I bet Tubby's going to be there.
Whatever. Whatever.
Mayonnaise is disgusting anyway.
It's not disgusting. It's a condiment.
No.
Like any other condiment.
Yeah, and some are disgusting and some aren't.
It's just whatever. It's whatever. I don't understand. Like that. Condiments are condiments.
Yeah.
They're necessary in some cases. Yeah.
I never found a time where mayonnaise was necessary.
Fine.
Ever.
I've never understood the hate of mayonnaise. Like, you could hate ketchup. What makes it any worse than ketchup?
Ketchup tastes better.
Again, depending on what you're... What,
exactly.
Like, I wouldn't put ketchup in tuna fish.
Neither would I.
I'd put mayo.
I don't put mayonnaise in tuna.
It's better with mayo. And just, yeah. It's what it is. I've just never understood the hate for any condiment.
I'd rather not eat.
Okay.
You're a baseball card collector?
No. No. I was as a kid,
Yeah, but at any point. Okay. So the 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle card.
Oh, my God.
Rated at a 9.5.
Yeah.
Which is extremely, out of 10, which is extremely hard to get something of that age
yes.
graded at that level. Sold for $12.6
million. My gosh.
$12.6 million. Previous record for a sports card was $7.25 million. That was an old Honus Wagner card.
Yeah, that was a tobacco.
Yeah, so it used to a long time ago in packs of cigarettes is where actually you would get these small baseball cards would be yep. included with them. That's how it used to be. That's where you used to get a Honus Wagner card back in the day. It was old cigarette box. But that's a lot of money for a baseball card. That is.
Yeah, but it's Mickey Mantle, and it's from the 50s, and it's basically in mint condition.
Yeah, it's an iconic card.
Yep.
It's an iconic image as well. But still, $12.6
million. Whew. Absolutely insane.
I'd keep that in a glass case, in a safe, inside a vault, inside of a bunker.
Yeah.
That's where I'd keep that. Summer, let's see, what's today? The 29th? So tomorrow.
Today is the 29th.
30th. Yeah. Two months since I got my most recent tattoo.
Right.
You know how I didn't miss any time of work other than the day I took? I even worked during my tattoo. Unlike Aroldis Chapman, who is now on the injured list because he got a tattoo on his leg and it got infected.
Well, clearly he went to an inferior place for his tattoo.
I know. You didn't go to my guy at Bad Fun Company, my guy Greg DeHoot up there in Youngsville?
He should have come all the way down to North Carolina.
He should have. Greg's done all four of mine and I haven't had one issue whatsoever. All right, here's the thing. If you play sports,
right,
never get a tattoo in season. Just don't.
Right.
Because
it hurts.
Yes, it hurts, but you have a really good chance of running into what happened to Aroldis Chapman, getting a bad infection. Because right. the ability to keep it clean, you can't wear anything skin tight, which is what baseball pants and stuff are, because he got the tattoo on his leg. I'm not shocked at all by this. Come on, people. Learn how to take care of your
tattoos. Exactly.
If you need tattoo, like, cleaning or anything, help, hit me up at the Fan Rookie. I'm here for you.
Yes, he is.
I really am. Still, though. That's just, I'm not going to lie. I couldn't imagine trying to play a sport after I got my tattoo. No, no thank you. I had a teammate in college who got one during our lacrosse season. And I was like, you're an idiot. Like, you got to wear shoulder pads on top of that thing. Like, why'd you get a back tattoo?
I don't even understand.
I don't get it either. He was complaining about it all during practice. Like, well, you're an idiot.
Yes.
Anyway,
you are.
There are some people that were complaining a bit about the camera angles that you might have noticed if you watched North Carolina beat FAMU on the ACC network.
Yeah, they were explaining the problem.
So there was some lightning in the area in Chapel Hill around Keenan Stadium.
Yeah.
So they had to, I guess, for the safety maybe of the crew.
Of the camera people.
Yeah, the camera people take them away from the cameras.
Right.
So they just have the all 22 cameras. The only thing you could see. Just the all 22 cameras, what they use.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because this is what I was thinking as I was watching the game, but I was otherwise occupied to not pose this question on Twitter. If it's too dangerous for the camera people.
Yeah.
Why was the game still being played? Why did we not, like, say, hey, we got lightning in the area. Let's take the fans off, out of the stadium. Mm-hmm. Let's take the players off the field. We don't care?
No. No, like, not at all.
Like, wait a second. Like, I didn't understand that.
No one cares.
I guess. I guess no one cares.
That's the thing that confuses me, too. If it's close enough lightning in the area... If that's the case, why are we still playing?
Yeah, I didn't understand. All right, I'm fine.
I don't know either.
So I know we...
Yes.
We do gambling. Sports betting.
We do gambling.
Yes, we
do gambling. Yes, we definitely do that.
We do gambling. So a NASCAR fan, I guess listening to a podcast, ended up using a parlay, a four-leg parlay.
Right.
$13 on the bet, turned it into $1 million.
Really?
Actually, technically $999,433.63, but that's beside the point. So this is what the parlay was. Cody Ware in the Coke Zero Sugar 400 to get a top 10 finish. That was a plus 2,000. BJ right. McLeod, also in the Coke Zero 400 to get a top 10 finish, plus 2,000. Again, this is all parlay. Landon Castle in the Coke Zero Sugar 400, plus 1,500 for have a top 10 finish. And David Reagan, the same race, top 10 finish at plus 950. So the odds of that... all combined together, again, plus 2,000, plus 2,000, plus 1,500, plus 950. Parlay that together, 7,408,700 were the odds.
My gosh.
Put $13 on it.
A $13 bet. That's awesome.
Over $999,000.
Excellent. Did he go to work today?
No. I guarantee you know where he's not from. North Carolina. Or at least he didn't make the bet in North Carolina.
Could have done it in Cherokee, right?
He could have. Actually, he could have.
Right out to Cherokee. I don't know if he could do that.
Well, it looks like it was done on FanDuel.
Oh, okay.
So no, it was not done.
He drove across the border into Virginia.
Yeah, he did it in Danville, I believe, is where he did it. Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Final thing here real quick. This applies here in the state of North Carolina. So the NFL Network on Sunday, September 4th, is going to air the 2022 Black College Football Hall of Fame Classic live on the network at 4 o'clock. Central State University versus Winston-Salem State.
All right.
So there you go.
Hey, that was cool, by the way, real quick about the North Carolina FAMU. Like
the bands?
It's not unusual to see an HBCU play a major college team.
No.
It happens. I mean, Duke's played... A&T. Central and A&T, especially recently, often. And those are big deals. I mean, you know, Duke has sold a lot of tickets because with the Bull City Classic, mm-hmm. when Central comes, across the street, basically. But the bands at halftime, look, FAMU, HBCU bands are, historically awesome. But I thought the mashup was... tremendous.
Yeah.
So, just for that, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have more of those. Hey, I've argued this about basketball, and I can't get anybody to back me on this at the administrative level at the ACC. Forget the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Scrap it. Do an ACC HBCU. Not really a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a matchup where ACC schools and Notre Dame, I think last year played at Howard.
Yeah.
Right? Have the ACC schools travel to HBCUs.
Yeah.
And do that every year. Now, maybe you don't go, to like 14 of them, but you could have four or five schools play at an HBCU every year.
Well, you just look local.
So
A&T Wake Forest plays at A&T.
Right. And we don't even need the bands, although the bands are good. We like the bands. So shouts to what happened at Keenan Stadium. Yeah. That was just absolutely awesome to watch.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Right now. Time to add them up, or in some cases, subtract, because people don't understand what we're doing here on Place Your Bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own me. I owe you one.
Why do people that fill in for me continue to take minus bets? Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
There's no point. You got to win more often than you lose if you take minus bets.
Yeah, I know.
There's no point. I should set rules when I'm gone. Because I allow, unlike you, I allow people who sub for me. Mm-hmm. I allow them to do whatever they want.
Oh.
So.
Hey, I feel like if I dug myself a hole, I'm getting myself out of it. What? Or I'm not going to let someone else dig it deeper for me.
Or let them get you out of it. All right. So you're up to minus 300. You're doing pretty well. All right. It wasn't too bad. Josh Graham didn't hose me too badly. But he does have ECU plus 300 to beat NC State. Okay. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but at least he gets it. You know, at least that's a plus bet.
Yeah.
All right. So
we gave you a couple futures in there, too.
Yeah, I don't mind Lamar Jackson at plus 2,000 to win MVP.
No?
Even though I think Josh Allen is going to be the MVP. Probably. I don't mind Lamar Jackson to win it. All right. Let's get right to it. You go first, Dennis.
I'm going to go ahead and jump to tomorrow, actually, real quick. EPL, Crystal Palace, Brentford. Give me Crystal Palace at a plus 110 to win it.
Crystal Palace at a plus 110 to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched. They are at home. I watched the Palace trip to Man City. They played a very solid first half. Had a 2-0 lead. First goal was an own goal. And then Man City just trucked them. It was clinical in how easily Man City made the second half look. Palace is a tough team to play against. Brentford's good, though. I think Brentford's got... I thought initially that Brentford would ultimately get relegated, you know, be in that fight. I think they're good. I think they're legitimately good. Ivan Toney gets scoring chances all day long. All day long. But good luck to you. All right. I may spend the entire day at the National Tennis Center.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start off with a four-match parlay. Two women's matches, two men's matches. Give me Madison Keys, give me Coco Vandeweghe, give me Alex Bublik, and Alex de Minaur to all win their matches, a four-match parlay at plus 240.
Okay.
All right.
That's a... you're not going to make $1 million on a $13
no,
bet on that.
No, not.
That's for sure.
I am definitely not. But I am not trying to shoot the moon. That would be good, though.
That would be amazing.
All right? That would be phenomenal. So, there you go.
Speaking of Josh Allen, I'm going to take him MVP at plus 650.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with
that. Anyone you take right now on MVP is a plus money.
Sure.
So, well, yeah, my opinion, it's a good bet.
Nobody's negative. Nobody should be minus money in that.
True.
What's Aaron Rodgers to win MVP?
Plus 1,000.
Three in a row? Probably not going to happen.
Mahomes
is
a plus 900.
There you go. That would also be good. All right, I'm saving my big one for last. Dominic Thiem and Pablo Carreño Busta will play today. Thiem used to be a top five player in the world. He's had some injury issues. He's essentially a brick wall when he's healthy. I'm going to take him at plus 350 to pull off the upset over Carreño Busta.
Okay.
I mean, just for people can pay attention to tennis scores just for today, because there's no soccer being played today except in the National League in England, which is outside the top four tiers of English soccer, English football, if you will. So, and I will be doing a Wrexham match tomorrow. Have you seen any of the FX? You know, Ryan Reynolds and I forget the other guy. They bought Wrexham, one of the oldest clubs in English football.
No, I've not.
Trying
actually.
To get back up to into the pyramid, into the top four leagues, so they can actually like make money.
Yeah.
I watched the first couple of episodes. It's fascinating.
Really?
Absolutely fascinating. So I'm all in on that. So I will be doing the Wrexham match tomorrow, but we'll get to that tomorrow.
Currently sixth in the National League.
Yes, but they've played one fewer match than the teams in front of them. They have their match in match week six tomorrow.
They won on Saturday, by the way.
They've been 3-1-1 on the season.
Okay. All right, final things for me. I'm actually going to do two bets here. Not parlay them, just going to give two bets because Yankees play the Angels.
Right.
Give me Aaron Judge home run, a plus 210, and Ohtani a home run, plus 370. Oh. I got to lean into it. They're playing each other.
Aaron Judge is only plus 210 to hit a home run?
Yep.
My God.
And I'll take it.
My God.
And I would take it.
Gosh, it's like they expect it. All right, tonight, in what I hope I'm wrong. So I am throwing 100 units at being wrong.
Okay.
I hope this is not the final match for Serena Williams at the U.S. Open. Final singles match, anyway. But just in case it is, I'll take Danka Kovanec at plus 290 to beat Serena.
I don't think that's a bad bet.
I don't think it's a bad bet either, but it will pain me if I win it. So I'm trying to throw 100 units at a loss.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.